not the boring, generic, milquetoast stuff coming from the network in Connecticut.
I'd describe him as the best, obviously.
Cattles.
He throws it out there, speaks his mind, that's cool.
And Rami.
He's supposed to make people laugh. He's just an expert at it.
Cattles and Rami.
Live and local in the afternoon.
Sactown Sports.
Well, for another afternoon, Jason Ross and Jay Johnson, we're back here with you on Cattles and Rami. What is up, Jay?
What's going on with my guy? Operationals, a.k.a. Jay Ross, a.k.a. Stingers Up, a.k.a. the money man, four checks in the pocket. I keep going, but
you're
I
don't want to be tortoise.
No, never, never.
Happy first day of summer. How are you spending your first day of summer?
With
we're
you.
In the studio.
Yeah, with you.
Let's open up the top.
Yeah, we got a lot of lights on.
We do.
On
is right there now. More light? I was thinking the same thing. Are there more lights on than normal?
It is. Feel like a boxing ring.
Yeah.
You ever been in a boxing ring?
You know what? I don't think I ever have.
Oh, man. You
never
have
even
to,
been in.
Have you ever been to a big time boxing
I have.
Fight? Okay,
I have.
There you go.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know what? The first fight I ever went to, I can't tell you who was in the fight, but
okay.
It was the Olympics in 84 in LA.
Really?
Went to Olympic boxing. It was great. And I think there were some future stars in there, but I was pretty young fella.
Yeah, that might be Roy Jones.
Ooh, an 84?
Is that the one he got robbed, or is that a 88?
I don't feel like it was.
Roy Jones was in Korea.
Okay.
That doesn't give me the year.
88?
That's
88.
88?
Yeah.
Christmas. Yeah, 84, I wasn't alive for that.
That was
one.
Los Angeles, right? Crims chimes in and said, Korea? I mean, that's the country, brother.
Yeah.
We're looking for you.
Korea, 88, Barcelona, 88. 92, Atlanta, 96.
How do you know these
it.
Things?
We got it, man.
Okay, I guess I'll say it. My uncle went to the Olympics.
Oh. Like, participated?
Yeah, participated.
And?
He got a silver medal at Barcelona.
Awesome. In what field? What event?
One of the sailing ones.
Oh, okay. He's a sailor.
He's a kayaker?
No, like sailing big boats with sails and stuff.
Okay. Huh. That's a very difficult sport there, brother.
You know, now that I'm saying this out loud, I was formulating this idea, I don't know, a while ago, but the 84 Olympics was honestly one of the best things I've ever been to, ever in my life. There's all the different – we went to a bunch of events. It was really fortunate. But it's going to be back in L.A. in 28. I think it's got to come full circle.
Like
I think
split,
I got
it. Right?
I think I got to go back down there and see all that. It was some of the best times I've ever had. Saw track and field multiple times, diving, swimming, basketball, baseball, soccer.
I was at swimming contest.
Swimming was good.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, you're not a fan?
I
mean, didn't have
whatever.
Phelps.
Yeah.
But it was really good energy.
What about diving? You're a diving,
diving
fan?
It was cool to watch.
Okay.
But, I mean, all these things like, you know, I'm more familiar with baseball, but I think at that time it was an exhibition. And I don't even know if is baseball back. Yeah, it's back in the Olympics.
Yeah, but it's amateurs or people who aren't on MLB teams. Yeah.
Which lets you know we have a chance.
That's right.
I can go
sure.
try out right now,
that's
baby.
That's right. So anyway, happy first day of summer.
Absolutely. Meldrick Taylor, Sweet Pea, Pernell Whitaker.
That one, I feel like I saw Pernell Whitaker.
Vander on that team, right?
Okay.
There you go. Come on, man.
Well, those are the three most famous, probably.
Let's see here.
And 84 basketball was pretty famous at the time. But at the time, I didn't know how great some of those players were.
Virgil Hill.
Yeah.
Champ. Tyrell Biggs, super heavyweight.
Was 84 the year that Michael Jordan was on the Olympic team? The one that...
The non-dream team, obviously.
Yeah, Bob Knight coached it.
So to me, the most famous person was Bob Knight at the time. He was coaching Team USA.
It says a lot.
Yeah, but I think it was... Wasn't Tisdale on that team and Jordan? And I can't remember everybody on there, but yeah. So maybe we'll make it a plan. Let's go to LA in a couple years to go watch the Olympics.
I'm with it.
Yeah. Life change.
Sign me up.
Yeah. Truly an amazing
I've never
experience.
Been to an Olympic experience.
Yeah, I think, I mean, one, you know, it's just obviously the gathering of different countries and the competition. It's just very, I don't know, it was just impressive. Just an awesome experience. So
I'm glad you got to enjoy that, brother.
It. Yeah. It's either that, Jay, or I'm all in on going back on Slam Ball.
Oh, Slam Ball.
Slam Ball is back.
2 year deal.
Yes.
Getting ready to pop up.
I don't know how much I watched it, but every time I did, I loved it.
Are you signing up? Are you throwing your name in the hat for play-by-play?
Sure.
Yeah.
Slam Ball looked fun. I think Slam Ball would be one of those things that would be more fun like a station event.
Yes.
You know, like corporate bring you know, the company out and play Slam Ball.
You get the dunk on our general manager. Throw it up, ops! I'm going to go get him.
Tongue out.
Go get him.
Yes.
Throw it up.
Yeah.
You don't even have to throw it up off Slam
Ball. And what?
You can just bounce it up. Bounce it up.
Honestly, do they never... It's just dunks. Do they shoot?
Yes, they shoot. They shoot.
Are there threes?
There is
like
a
off
three
the bounce?
There is a 3-point. Now, I
just remember dunks and people dunking on people.
I don't think
it's
off the bounce, but they shot too. Yeah, they shot the ball.
Okay. Because I remember either just like the posterizing type dunks
of course,
on people or the great blocks. Sometimes you get great blocks.
Absolutely. A lot of Dikembe Mutombos
yes.
out there. Absolutely.
But that was fun. Slam Ball's back on a 2-year deal. Was it ESPN?
ESPN, yes. Nice. 4-letter.
I'll watch it.
We say the 4-letter around
four
here.
4-letter network.
Okay, I'm
yeah.
just saying. I'm watching it, too. I'm all in. Especially if they do it now during the summer where there's not
yeah,
a lot popping
like,
off. Oh, yeah. Sign me up.
I'm not necessarily caring who wins. I just want to watch some action.
Matter of fact, I'm going to throw my name in the hat. I got to go down and do some reporting or something right
ball.
Now. Yeah, slam ball. I don't even know where the headquarters are getting ready to be, but sign me up.
Let's go down to the side trampoline. Jay Johnson. And he was bouncing up and down.
Hello, folks. I'm here with my guy, Kenny.
Yeah. I like it.
Let me see. I'm looking to see where they're doing slam ball. Where's the headquarters of slam ball going to be?
That feels like an
it's
LA
be
thing.
LA.
Yeah.
New York, LA, Miami.
Yeah.
Venice Beach. What if they did it on Venice
see,
Beach?
See, there you
oh,
go. You get a crowd, get the, see the sights.
Yeah, Santa Monica
play it in summertime.
Pier. Yeah, I'm
slam
that.
Ball.
That's I'm looking sure. that up.
We got a lot to cover today. Yesterday on the show, Jay, we talked about going big. If you're the Sacramento Kings, we'll kind of construct some what go big looks like. You and I will have some entries. We'll do that about an hour from now. We got the day before the draft. We're here. We're on draft eve. We got to talk about the possibilities. We got to look at some mock drafts. Also, we're going to be joined by a draft expert, get the very latest on what's going on with the Kings and with others at the top of the draft. And speaking of the draft, yesterday, more and more of the guys have now arrived in New York. Did you see Victor Wembanyama throw out the first pitch yesterday?
I did. Looks like he's never done anything on a baseball field a day in his life.
Now, the comparison, I said, now the pitch, it's not the worst first pitch you've ever seen. It's not good. I'm not going to say it's good. It's not. He misses the target pretty considerably. Did you see the picture, though, of the ball in his hand?
I did, and I saw a couple of people, with some memes of, kind of like an animal. Full circle, Shaq kind of holding the ball. Those different type of memes, man. But it looks like a golf ball.
It does. And so I'm thinking like golf ball, I heard ping pong ball. So now I think you've played baseball, I've played baseball. I figure, okay, if I went onto the pitcher's mound and tried to throw a ping pong ball for a strike, that'd be harder. Or a golf ball, it'd be harder because it's just so small. But I think I would do better than that.
Yes.
And maybe I wouldn't try. I might even just be like, you don't have to be cool. Like, I
just lob it.
Toss it for a strike. Just get it to the catcher. I'm not going to hop
pitch.
It. Sure.
But I said this yesterday, and I've said this a few times. If you want to see how athletic a person is, give them a baseball or give them a baseball bat and see how they do.
Right.
Most people who are world-class athletes look crazy playing baseball.
Yeah. There's the exceptions. I know a couple of first pitches that come to mind. I know it was Russell Wilson who played a lot of baseball and did up to like a couple years ago. And Kaepernick, they both, they got clocked.
Yeah.
And they were in the 90s on the mound. You're like, okay.
Well, Cap was, he was trying to get drafted.
Yeah. So pitching. These guys could do it, and it's just, you appreciate it. But, again, to see the ball, it's just trying to throw the smallest thing possible. And also, then, if you think about it, not even to be political here, it just goes back to after 9/11 when Bush went up on the mound in the series and delivered a strike. That's, I mean, whether you like the man or not, that's impressive, especially when you've seen these other people do what they do.
True, but, I mean, he grew up in a baseball
he did.
Family.
He
the
did.
Bush, the Bushes love baseball.
Yep.
They've owned the Rangers. Yeah, I mean, it's part of his upbringing, so I'm not too surprised. It's one of those things that came natural to Bush, man. Hey, look, deliver, brother. You're the president.
Yeah, be confident.
Put a two-seamer on that.
That's
put
right.
a little movement. Matter of fact, have something drop off the table.
I'd go with a knuckle.
Would you?
No, probably not. I like to throw knuckleballs, and not very effectively. But
Have you ever been approached about throwing out a first pitch?
I have not.
Ah,
yeah.
We got to figure that out.
Have you?
River Cats?
Yeah.
No, I mean, because baseball has been my sport, so it's kind of like, what does it matter?
I mean,
and I'm not Jason Ross.
No,
I'm not
but
as famous
you could
as
go
Jason
do,
Ross.
It's not though. Even that you, because you've done it, I know you do just fine. I mean, whatever. It doesn't even...
Yeah, I get up there, like you said, I try to throw Barry Zito 12-6 or something.
Might want to put a mask on, catcher. I'm not
throwing that hard, but I'm definitely trying to throw some movement on
it. What's funny is, so
submarine
I told
or something.
You yesterday, surprised my wife, we went to Boston, but we went to Fenway, and they had one of those things, like a pitching machine, or a thing where how hard do you throw? And there's kids out there, like, running up, just doing it all, and we walked by, I'm like, ooh, that sounded good at 62. I went,
yeah.
Really? Are those things accurate?
They say they are. They say they're fine-tuned plus or minus 1 mile per hour, you know, but
it's like me throwing to this wall, so it's really short. These, I mean, they were – it looked hard, but there's not that much of a gap.
And speed,
I'm like, that seemed like more than 64.
Exit velocity is what we're taking these days, you know, for the analytical people in baseball. I mean, I never really threw hard like that.
Yeah.
You know, and I never – I was more everywhere else, utility and playing infield.
Just threw it to the person you needed to get it to.
That's all I need to.
Accuracy.
I'm going to hit a person in the chest.
Yeah.
Head,
make me scoop
up.
It at first. Oh, come on, I'm pick it.
No need to.
Yeah.
No need to when I was throwing the ball.
All right. I know. I've seen you play.
Doing all right, brother.
Las Vegas,
where slam ball is getting ready to jump off.
Okay. That'll work there, too.
The 2023 season will start on July 21st in Las Vegas and will end on August 17th through the 19th with the Slam Ball Playoffs and Slam Ball Championship game. All games will be played at the Cox Pavilion in Las Vegas, which at that point in time, Summer League will be over, right? Because Summer League ends the 18th, 19th?
17th, I think. 17th.
Ah, I'm just going to miss it.
Yeah.
Could you imagine Slam Ball having a couple of guys out there from Summer League? Couple of Victor Wembanyama plays like the honorary first dunk. We're
first
talking about
dunk
first
and
pitch.
Then get him out of there.
Chet Holmgren would be fun.
Holmgren versus Wembanyama.
Yeah, Chet right now, he might need to stay still. He might be an air cast at this point.
Well, you know, that's the one thing that a lot of people, and the one little bit of news I would say out of Victor Wembanyama today, you know, everything points to him going number one. He had a press conference, said he would like to play in the summer. So if that's true, and like there were reports earlier, the Spurs were going to let him. Jay, if that's true, his first possible game would be a California Classic.
Now, not going to happen.
You think it's in Vegas, if at all?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Too much money riding on it for the league, four-letter network, NBA TV, primetime game, just like they did Zion, which for me is probably like the last biggest name we've seen come out where a lot of anticipation has been there. Too much money on the line, Jay.
Yeah.
Too much money on the line for Victor Wembanyama not to play. I can see him playing two or three games, not the full roster, not the full load, you know, of every single game. Because, as you know, we've both been to Summer League plenty of times. You know, some of those things aren't as strenuous. You know, they give you a day, couple days in between. But there is a lot of movement and a lot of media, you know, attention that comes along with it. And you can believe Wembanyama and the Spurs PR, the communications team, they're going to be locked and loaded on all the events that he's going to have to be, you know, attending and speaking at and doing interviews. Everybody's going to want a piece of Wembanyama.
For sure. Well, we'll see if it is, in fact, here. We don't know that yet. We've got just underway here on the show. When we come back, the latest NBA rumors. Paul George, could he be on the move? What is going on with Porzingis and the Celtics and the Clippers? We've got that. Bruce Brown opting out. All of that and more, some NBA rumors and stuff that's real as well. We've got that next here on Cattles and Rami. Jason Ross, Jay Johnson in here on Sactown Sports.
Live and local in the afternoon.
They always keep you on edge.
Cattles
and Rami
on Sactown Sports.
We're continuing to carefully craft our plan to be a part of Slam Ball. We're going to make it happen, Jay.
I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Chris Rely came in and said he wanted to be the...
he's the numbers guy. Yeah, analytics.
He's the scouter.
Yeah. He's got the history of information on all the players in the past, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Elias Burrell.
Yes.
Chris is in for the Elias Burrell of Slam Ball.
Yeah.
General manager of the local Slam Ball team, Chris Verlag.
Absolutely.
I'm all for it.
He would have it. We've got draft coverage today, tomorrow, Friday, all days here because it's a big week in the NBA. And a reminder that all NBA draft coverage is brought to you by our friends at Power Business Technology. For all your business office equipment needs, contact them at 844-POWER-BZ or go to powercopiers.com. Well, let's hit some of the rumors that have happened. I think one that wasn't really a surprise, you know, in the parade last week, Jay, for Denver, celebrating their title. Awesome first championship. You know, Coach Malone's up there going, here's Bruce Brown. He's not going anywhere. Yeah, unless you pay him a whole bunch of money, and I think he's going to get a chance to make a whole bunch of money, and I think by him opting out, which made sense, his payday is coming, and it might not be in Denver.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
That little 6.8, 6.9, I say little.
Yeah.
We'll talk about
it. It is in the league, though.
Yeah, that $6.9 million deal.
He's
Bruce Brown
it.
Fresh off a championship, the way he played, especially in the postseason, where all eyes were on Double B.
Yeah.
Man, that dude's at least looking for 10 and up.
Oh, yeah, for
absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely, per
sure.
year, you know. Look, if I'm the Kings, I'm paying them 10 and up.
Right.
At this point.
Yeah.
You know, and I would imagine the Kings wouldn't be the only team that's looking for that. Bruce is kind of borderline. Do you think he can start a couple of games for you?
I don't know.
Or do you think he's more microwavable off the pine?
I really went through this today. I was looking at it because I saw a couple of comments. Oh, Bruce Brown greater than Harrison Barnes. I went, okay, now be careful here a little bit. I know it's easier to sometimes pick apart something that you have than what you don't know. Like when everybody gets a player, they seem perfect when they come to the Kings. And they're like, oh, he can't do this. He doesn't do that. Well, he was perfect to you before. And I think we're infatuated with what he meant to Denver. And he was great.
Yes.
But, I mean, to say he's better. Like, Harrison Barnes, every year but his rookie year's average double figures. This was the first year Brown did. I think it was just over 10. Now, he's a bench player. But I think he still played 25 minutes a game where Barnes was around 32. And he averaged 15 a game on a team that led the league in scoring, played every game. I think he started every game in, like, the last 5 years or something. So he's so reliable, so durable, great pro. But I think you're looking at a different price point for each guy. So Brown should get paid more than he did before, but I don't know what range he's in. He's also, I feel like he's more of a shooting guard in that realm, like that size. I think he's about 6'5", 6'4", 6'5".
Yeah.
So I don't know that he takes your, I mean, can he play small forward? Sure, but I don't deem him, I wouldn't look at him as the get to be a small forward that you've figured out the answer. I feel like he would be what he was to Denver. You'd want to be a 6th, 7th, 8th man on your team.
Yeah, he's 6'4", listed as 6'4".
Yeah.
Which probably means he's closer to about 6'2¾". Mm-hmm. Not an NBA, does it? 11 points this past season.
Great year.
Not bad. Four rebounds, 3 assists, shooting almost 50% from the floor. I really like what he brings to a team.
I totally agree.
But I think I like what he brings to the team off the bench.
Yeah.
If he is, you pair him, and look, I'm just splitting hairs and throwing him out here with Sacramento Kings to make it make sense. You pair him with a guy like Malik Monk, you have instant offense right off the pine.
Yeah.
He extends your rotation, you know, he extends the fact that he can say, look, he's played on a championship team. He's played with great players like Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic, which means he could fit right in with De'Aaron Fox and, you know, Domas Sabonis. Michael Malone is kind of in your face, tell it all, doesn't really hold anything back. It kind of seems like Mike Brown is that same similar type of coach. I like what he brings to the team. I liked him when he was over with the Nets. Again, for me, he's kind of cutting the same cloth as Malik Monk.
Right.
Can handle the rock, can do a little bit, can shoot it. And he has an edge about him. One thing about Bruce Brown is he's not backing down. He's coming right at you.
No, I love that about that. I think it's a really good fit on that team. And if they can make the math work, I think they'd love to bring him back. I don't know whether that he will. The other thing, now that's a fact. Now let's go to some of the rumors today. Paul George.
Oh!
Allegedly could be on the block. Now, again, I don't know if this is silly season or just throwing stuff out there. But when you hear that name, we talked about, you know, going big fish hunting for the King. That's a big fish. Would you be intrigued if you're the Kings and Paul George in some way, shape,
Sign
or form?
Sign me up for both. Bring them both. Bruce Brown and PG Paul George.
How do
George.
You get these guys? You want everybody.
Know. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, I want everybody because there's some folks that I would release on the Kings roster right now if it was down to Jay. But
well, tell me why Paul George.
Because just as we talked about, big game hunting.
Yeah.
Right? You're going to get the big deer. You ever played the old school game, Oregon Trail?
Yeah.
That was on the computer. Yeah. And, you know, you have to run around and shoot some of the small squirrels and all that.
Waiting to get to your big fit. Yeah,
come on now. Thing. You was looking for the deer and the bear. That's what I'm looking for. I'm hunting for what this roster has, and I heard you and Chris just talk about this. I'm looking to add a little more spice. I don't want the blandness of what's going to return back. And I'm not saying what the Kings have because, again, I remember what the Kings haven't had over the last 15 or so years. But, again, just going back to it, it's wide open. And if you're peeling Bruce Brown away from Denver, that puts just one more little chink in their armor, you know, peels back the Teflon Don of what they are. Now, I'm not saying Bruce Brown is everything and he's probably 7th on that roster when it comes to importance. But at the same time, we also seen him make a lot of different plays that meant a lot over the playoff run. Paul George is just an all-star, and quite frankly, I'm more of a Paul George fan than I think a lot of people are, but he's a superstar too, man.
Yeah, he can carry a team. He'd be the biggest name the Kings have ever added, basically, right, in season. I mean, Weber would have been up there, but Weber hadn't quite – he had more of a college name. It was Rookie of the Year, but, I mean, Paul George has been a multiple-time all-star. He's been one of the best players in the league.
Yep. And he wouldn't have to come and carry – the lobe. See, I think one of the things with Paul George is he's had to carry the Clippers due to what's going on with Kawhi and the injuries over the last few years. And the other part about it is I continue to keep on saying, someone who can create a shot, someone who's going to make others better, and star power. Mm-hmm. We're reaching for the goal. I think Paul George fits all of that. I mean, he is the prototypical 2/3 guy in the league, hence why he's been valued at a high level throughout the league. I can understand if you get back to me and say, hey, Jay, I'm not really sold on the fact of the injuries. Or, the other thing for Paul George is I haven't seen it deep into the playoffs.
Deep enough, yeah. I mean, he's had some good playoff moments, but not the biggest moments, not the, getting to a team to the finals. All of these things, and when we go, talk about shooting for the stars a little bit later in the show, it all, to me, revolves around what would it cost? Because is there a world, realistically, mm-hmm. that you could have Fox, Sabonis, Murray, and George? Can you keep those three and get him? I don't believe it's possible, but I don't know that.
Well, when you look at it, I'm going off of what you see with Chris Paul. At this very moment, Chris Paul probably has less value than Paul George. Would you say that?
100%.
Okay. Bradley Beal.
Comparable. Yeah.
All right. So, for what we've seen so far, and of course they're going to add a third team to it, or they're trying to add a third team to the trade. Did Washington get a whole lot for Bradley Beal in your point?
Your standpoint? I mean, in one sense, they got a Hall of Fame point guard, but he's not going to play a minute
for them.
Dude's
38.
And he's not going to play for them, right? They're basically, but they needed the money so they can basically just let that go, and then they're just redirecting. I don't know that the Clippers are in a redirect mode. Like Washington, especially, we'll get to the Porzingis rumor. Like if that's happening, too, they're selling. They're getting off, and they're going to be into a new realm type of mm-hmm. team.
Steve Ballmer doesn't.
He's not doing
the money.
Ballmer wants to win a championship,
absolutely, especially with the new arena coming to.
So I don't really believe the Paul. Like to me, in my mind, when I heard that, I'm like, oh, they want Paul George for Jalen. Like they want another star back is what I think they want, and I just don't see how the Kings do that without Fox or Sabonis in one sense, or Keegan Murray and a bunch of. And I don't think the Kings would do that.
I don't think the Kings have enough to do it one-on-one.
Or a bad contract that a team would want. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like just a crazy high contract.
I'm not sure they can get it done one-on-one, but I mean, you can throw in a third team, a mm-hmm. fourth team. You know, some of these trades can get a little crazy, and you're looking for that guy. They definitely have the money to do it.
Yeah.
You know, with the Herders and the Rashawn Holmes contract and, of course, letting Harrison Barnes walk. You would let HB walk if that's what you feel, but there's an opportunity.
Yeah.
There's definitely an opportunity.
All right, we got more to get to, including big deal or no big deal later this hour. So much more to get to. Draft mockery today. We take you up to 6. Jay Johnson, Jason Ross here in for Cattles and Rami on Sacktown Sports and SacktownSports.com.
Sacktown Sports.
I'm Simone with your Sacktown Sports headlines. After clipping the tying homer in the 8th, Jock Peterson able to walk it off with a humble walk-in.
And this one is over.
With the 4-3 win last night, the San Francisco Giants are all gas, no breaks right now, and back at it at 6:45, hoping to extend that winning streak to double digits. Tomorrow, the illustrious 2023 NBA draft tips off. Sacramento Kings currently hold the 24th pick in the first round, as well as the 38th and 54th selections in the second. Of course, we're throwing a special draft party show tomorrow, beginning at 6 p.m. with the incomparable Jason Ross and Chris Watkins. All draft coverage on Sacktown Sports is proudly furnished by Power Business Technology. For all of your business office equipment needs, contact them at 844-POWER-BZ or go to powercopiers.com. I'm Simone. Those are your Sacktown Sports headlines. It's 2:32, which means it's time to check out Capital Casino, conveniently located at 411 North 16th Street in downtown Sacramento.
With you 1 mile at a time during the afternoon drive.
Cattles. And Robbie.
Sacktown Sports.
Nathan Grubel is going to join us a little bit later in the show, about 4:15. Talking about the NBA draft as we're one day away from the NBA draft. What a time for these guys. You only get drafted once. You hope to get drafted. It's an opportunity.
Shout out to them, man.
Yeah. That's got to be a great day in the green room. I always feel for that. I mean, the draft is always exciting to me, all of them, different realms. But the NBA one has always been the most exciting for me. It's quick. It just has a good pace to it. But I always feel for the guys that are kind of the last ones out there. The camera's always on in the green room. And it's like, you're going to get drafted. It's just, you know, I thought I was going 12th, and here they are like 26, and they're still waiting.
Would you go? If you were borderline lottery, if you got kind of guaranteed, well, nothing's guaranteed, but if you are a big name and you were supposed to be drafted within the lottery, would you go?
I really don't know the answer. I mean, I'm really torn. I'm trying to remember, Jay, you'll remember this, when Doug was here. Did he was invited and didn't go? Is that what it was?
He was invited and did not go.
Because I think he had a party.
Yeah, he did not go, right.
That's right.
But she wouldn't have been happy anyway because he got picked by the Sonics.
Right.
And he didn't.
Then quickly was to the Lakers, yeah.
Didn't work out with the coaching. Yeah, he wasn't enamored with the coaching staff.
I mean, I think it's such a big day. Knowing me and the way I would probably want to have a party at home with family and friends.
Yeah.
I go the other way. Not only would I want to go, even if I wasn't invited, I would do like what Giannis did and sit in the crowd and then like walk up to the stage when they call my name. I would really want to be there to like go up on stage.
Well, let's assume you were going to be like top 15, even though Giannis was 15. I don't know. Is there a limit? Can you only bring, you're not bringing the same kind of amount of group that you'd have a party at your house. I mean, you're going to bring your parents or your significant other or brothers, siblings, but it's probably a 6, 8. I don't know how many you can bring.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know how many people are allowed at the table.
Yeah. I mean, those round, I don't know, 6 or 8. I mean, now you see, like, there's an agent, probably your college coach.
Parents.
It's such a big day,
girlfriend,
though.
Girlfriend, yeah. Little brother, sis, sibling, you know.
People that went in on your first check.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go, man. I'm throwing a shindig.
You could send the cameras to my house.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The other reason people don't go is that after you get drafted, you go on like a 2-hour media tour and you get kind of whisked away. So some people kind of avoid
that. How do you know that, Kyle? Have you talked to a draft prospect who said they don't want to do that?
I've learned how this process works. They've been doing
it for
years.
Have you spoken to a draft prospect who said they don't want to go on a media tour?
That's fair.
All right. I just wanted to know. That's all I was
Sometimes
asking.
It's more responsibility on your draft day.
I agree. I'm just playing with you. It is true.
We know it from trying
to back down, brother. Don't back down.
Trying to get the guests on. It's like, yeah, you're like 7th in line. He's, NBA TV, ESPN, radio, the Zoom call, back to Sacramento. Then we got you.
And Bleacher Report, and FanDuel.
Yeah. People Magazine. Like, what? People Magazine? Like, what are we doing here? Yeah.
Then you're on a plane flying to the city for a press conference the next morning.
Exactly.
That's why you just kick it at the house.
That's right.
Or, rent out a little hall around the area or, go to Grandmammy's house, something like that. Big Nana, Big Mama.
Yeah.
Something like
Maybe I wouldn't want the cameras on because, I mean, there's a chance you're like, oh, I didn't want to go play for them.
That's interesting.
Because you got to put on that face if you're on camera. You're like, yeah,
I'm going over here.
Didn't that happen to Justin Fields when the draft was? Oh no, I guess he would just been at home. But he got drafted by the Bears and he just had a frown across his face the whole time.
But you don't know what he had a frown for.
Yeah,
you never know.
Maybe he had a bad snack.
You never know what's going on.
Yeah.
See, one thing I've realized in life, man, is sometimes, especially now in the fact of social networks and we have so much media coverage. And you hear athletes, you hear celebrities, you hear, people who are famous. A lot of times we jump to conclusions.
Yeah.
You just don't know. So I'm not going to.
Look at the reaction there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Right.
I mean, like you said, it could be anything. Yeah. Maybe somebody around, in the house says something. Yeah. Maybe you just never know what's going on with a person personally.
Yeah.
So I never try to jump into a person's personal life. I think media and, we do a bad job of that sometimes. Yeah. I mean, look, that's the life we live in.
Right.
But I'm not with all that. I'm not with trying to pick and choose why you have a frown. And I don't know why. I keep it a buck.
Yeah.
I'd rather ask you tell me. And if not, then I respect it. Too many times we jump in people's business. I don't like that.
What do you think about the word that's out today, at least from pretty reliable sources, whether it's Woj or Shams, about a potential deal with Washington, the Clippers, and the Boston Celtics, where the key piece, Jay, sounds like Kristaps Porzingis could be joining the Boston Celtics. I think it's Morris going from the Clippers to the Wizards, potentially. Malcolm Brogdon going from the Celtics to the Clippers. And then there's draft compensation and other moving parts there. Seemingly, the biggest part is Brogdon going to the Clippers and Porzingis going to the Wizards, if truly the Wizards are starting this full teardown.
Semantics doesn't make any difference for me. I don't think either team gets that much better, gets that much worse. We'll just trade names, pieces. I like Brogdon.
I like Brogdon a lot. Does that take them out of the Chris Paul potential, or does that not matter?
Yeah, Brogdon came off the bench this past season. Yeah. I'm pretty sure he can do it.
I think he's a good player.
Yeah, I do too. You know what Malcolm for me is? To me, it looked like he put on a little bit of weight over the last couple of years. And I know he was banged up two years ago quite a bit. I'm not sure he has that zip to him anymore, I saw with Boston. Okay. I didn't watch that many Boston games, but the games that I did, I was like, look like he lost a little bit of something, there. And so, to me, it looked like he put on a little more muscle, became more of a jump shooter compared to, I thought in Indiana, he ran the team well, from my eyes. Mm-hmm. I thought he was an overall point guard. And, of course, he didn't have that opportunity to do that in Boston. I'm not saying he can't do it. I would definitely think they would still look for Chris Paul. Chris Paul is a known commodity.
Right.
I think Brogdon is a known commodity, but I also think seeing him come off the bench for Boston allows the Clippers to look at it and say, okay, maybe we can use you as the sixth man of the year, that type of situation. So I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the Porzingis one, I get it. I get why Boston would be intrigued. We're all in the assumption. I think they are going to keep Jaylen Brown. So they re-sign him, kind of run it back with a lot of the same pieces. I think that makes sense. They're closer to a championship team. I think even just having a healthy Gallinari, too, would help him as another additional part.
But you're asking a lot, though. Porzingis and Danilo Gallinari would be healthy.
That's it. And I think they're probably good enough without this move to be back in the mix. I don't know that it guarantees that they get over the top, but I think he would just be a part of that if it all goes. I mean, I think if we're painting a road that it all goes well, I think they could do it without him. But it could all go well, and he could be a part of it, and he helps in certain areas as a just a huge presence. I mean, I think the versatility of that front court, potentially of Horford, Robert Williams, and him and used in different ways is nice. But, they'll have trouble at times with Embiid and some of the other teams. But Boston, to me, was in the mix no matter what.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think they're good.
Just kind of shuffled the deck
a little bit. Yeah, a little bit. And I think Brogdon plays a part in that.
Yeah.
And maybe, who knows, maybe Brogdon is – banging on the door to say, I want to get back to starting again or, run my own team, so to say. He was probably fifth or sixth on that list.
Yeah.
Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, Horford's there. Grant Williams is around. I don't know.
Yeah.
I know. It's an interesting concept to believe Malcolm Brogdon can jump right back into starting when he just was the sixth man of the year. He's shown he can do it.
Yeah.
Do you believe it?
And it's also now just there's a lot of smoke right now in the NBA, like a lot of rumors.
It's that time.
And there's a lot of stuff. And if this happens, it's just, I was amazed by this year's trade deadline, the amount of stars, like Hall of Famers that moved. Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, Westbrook. I mean, these are
Jason Ross.
Legends of the game that moved. We'll see if this offseason continues. We got big deal or no big deal coming your way next. And then after that, we're going to go big for the Sacramento Kings to start the 3 o'clock hour. Jay and I will come up with some moves that we think could be that bold move that puts them really in title contention. But big deal or no big deal, that is next on Cattles and Rami right here on Sacktown Sports.
How big is it? No matter what, national pundits would tell you it's huge.
Now it's our turn to tell you.
Big deal or no big deal?
On Cattles and Rami.
That's right. We got a couple of topics here on big deal or no big deal. We make a statement and Jay, you and I decide whether this is a big deal or no big deal.
It's a big deal.
Pretty simple. This segment's a big deal.
Yes, it is.
You know that.
Especially Jason Ross is hosting it.
I'm looking forward to the next segment. We might have to go two segments worth because we're going big.
Uh-oh.
Trying to find the big players for the Kings.
Are you a Fisher, Jason?
I am.
Okay.
Not like Dion, who claimed he would have been a three sports star in the Bass Tour. I got a list 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 that you might laugh at, but I got a list of 9.
Oof.
That I think they're different levels of big.
Big game hunting?
Kind of.
Some do I need? Okay.
Some might go, hey, throw that one back.
Do I need the pellets or do I need the actual bullet?
You need reinforcements.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
We've got tiers.
We do have tiers.
Bring the pit bulls in the military?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you.
Make sure you're safe and sound. All right. Big deal or no big deal, Jay. Lindsey Harding and Anjali Ranadive are the first female duo to lead a G League team. Is that a big deal or no big deal?
Well, it's a big deal. And the fact that I'm going to take – is Simone behind me? Because I can't see Simone.
Yes.
There. I'm going to take a step back for Simone on this question. But I'm just going to easily say it's an absolute big deal just because the statement you just made.
First. Yeah.
Anytime you are the first to do anything, negative, positive, wrong, right, big or small, it's a big deal.
Yeah. And I want it. I think that's the right answer. I would say big deal, but it needs to be. And maybe after the first or second or third, it'll be no big. Like, why is it a big deal? It's because it's the first.
Absolutely.
But why is it the first? What's taken so long?
Right.
So that's, I want it to be just like anything, like, oh, we've seen that before. No big deal.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if we're talking about conceptually the fact that two women are getting ready to hold prime positions on a G League team, an NBA, you know, roster, because one thing about it is Lindsey Harding's going to be dealing with guys that are on two-way contracts.
Correct.
Same thing with, you know, all the player movement that's getting ready to happen as far as front office that you have to deal with the G League. I mean, that's a huge thing to take on. It's a huge deal. Simone, your thoughts?
I absolutely agree with you guys. I think that that was a really beautiful sentiment that you connected with. It is a big deal that this is the first, but it hopefully will not be a big deal in the future when there's so many more opportunities for young ladies to get involved in more leadership opportunities.
Perfectly said.
Absolutely. Big deal, man.
All right. Big deal or no big deal? We got an audio example here. This is Woj. Not a Woj bomb, but some Woj comments here on what we can expect tomorrow with the Hornets, Jay, at number two.
Alabama's Brandon Miller further solidified his standing as Charlotte's choice at number two with a workout in meetings he had in Charlotte yesterday. This is the first time Michael Jordan, the outgoing majority owner in Charlotte, had a chance to watch Miller in person, to sit down and meet with him. And both Miller and Scoot Henderson came back to Charlotte for second workouts, second meetings, and I'm told Miller was better the second time around in that environment than he had been the first time. And certainly positionally, Miller's advantage over Scoot Henderson in Charlotte is that they've got a point guard in LaMelo Ball in Charlotte, who's they believe is a franchise-level point guard. And right now, Brandon Miller continues to be the focus for the Hornets at number two.
All right, so big deal or no big deal? Brandon Miller looks like number two to the Hornets.
No big deal in the fact that if you like that athlete, if you like the player, you take him. Definitely a huge big deal the fact that Michael Jordan, who's getting ready to be exit stage left, is helping you, assisting you in making the pick. Look, I get the Jordan. What's going to come is this. He's Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
He should be able to do anything he wants to do, and he should be able
to deal with the ramifications.
Right. You know that's coming. Jordan is the god of basketball. He can't do anything wrong. We've seen it with Isaiah Thomas. If Jordan says it, it's right. He's never done anything. Like he's never lost. He's never failed in a competition when you talk to Jordan fans. Everything, he walks on water, you know. He glides through air naturally. He doesn't even breathe oxygen. I mean, there's no way I'm letting this dude, and no way I'm letting Michael Jordan make a pick when he's on the way out.
While he's leaving, yeah.
Look, I know he's going to be, you know, he's still going to be tied to the franchise on a smaller capacity. Smaller capacity basically means financially, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
There's no way.
There's layers to this one. The no big deal on if you like Brandon Miller, you like Brandon Miller. I don't like the fact that they like him positionally. Because to me personally, my personal opinion, I think Scoot Henderson is can't miss.
But yeah, I'm with you.
I could be wrong. But here's where the layers of big deal. The Michael Jordan part that you referred to. The other part is now this drops Scoot Henderson to three. That's Portland. Portland will likely take him. I think that's a layer of dominoes here. Then it's like, okay, I know Portland's telling us everything they're saying is we're keeping Dame Lillard. Or are you now? Like, I think it just, I feel like this has a potential to be a really big deal on the domino effect of different moves.
Yeah. And again, if you go back to the fact that it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to say he should be a part of it.
Yeah.
Again, he's financially going to be a part of what the Charlotte Hornets are doing moving forward. if we're looking at prospect to prospect, it's just about who you like. Do you like the 3-and-D guy, yeah. someone who's going to, you know, shoot it at a higher clip right now when it comes to Brandon Miller? And Scoot Henderson, as me and you have talked about here for the last couple of days, we like Scoot.
Big fan.
Yeah, huge fan. I think he has more upside. I think he has a little more oomph to the table, you know, than what brings to the table than Brandon Miller. But I will also say this, and I think you and Chris spoke about this. If you go back and look at Jordan's draft, you know, over the last 10 to 15 years, man, there's Frank Kaminsky and, you know, Noah Vonleh. There are a lot of misses on that board.
Yeah. Want to trust that guy, the greatest of all time?
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist.
Yeah.
You know, Kimball Walker, who played well for a long time. Cody Zeller. I mean, there are some big-time misses, man.
That's why they were in the lottery a lot of years.
I was surprised to see they had drafted Tobias Harris. I didn't know that. I hadn't seen that back in 2011.
Well, we'll see how that goes. How about this last one here? Big deal or no big deal? Jay, the San Francisco Giants did it again yesterday. A walk-off, literally a walk-off to win it. Bases loaded walk. The win streak is 9. You weren't impressed at 8, so are you impressed at 9? Big deal or no big deal?
No big deal.
That's just, you're saying this with A's glasses on.
No big deal.
9 wins in a row. Double-digit win streaks this year. Now the Reds and the Rays.
Right.
That's it.
Reds aren't that good.
Oh, come on. Ellie De La Cruz. Come on. It's
Joey
my guy.
Votto. I like Joey Votto. Yeah. I like De La Cruz. I mean, no big deal. Okay. Each team, the A's. I'm going to keep going back
streak.
To it.
It's like 4.
Come on,
not,
man. No,
not 9.
No. It happens.
I mean, look at streaks, Jason, around the league.
It happens, man.
See,
teams
I agree.
Have streaks.
I agree with Jay because the San Diego Padres are going to beat them by 8 runs.
That's
tonight.
Right.
Eight
talk
runs.
To him. Talk to him,
8
Kyle.
Runs.
Talk to him.
I had
Kyle.
To wear the Tatis jersey today for good juju. Yeah, as like San Diego it. Needs it real bad right now.
Keep it.
8 runs.
It's coming.
Let's say 6. How about that? Let's say it's going to be 8-2. Tatis is going to hit a home run. J-Mars picked him earlier in streak game. It's going to be a San Diego day today.
Okay. Win streaks around the majors. Red Sox, 6.
Okay.
No big deal. Braves, 7.
No big deal.
You mentioned the Reds now in double digits at 11.
No big deal.
They're the Giants with 9.
No big deal.
Taking them from 500 to 41-32.
No big deal.
All right.
I'm just saying.
When's it going to be a big deal?
Call me around 15.
15?
Yeah, call me around. Astronomical number here. Ryan Walker on the bump for the Giants today. I'm with you. I like where you're going with it, Kyle.
More. Simone.
I'm feeling the Padres, baby. The Friars.
No bias at all over here.
I'm talking to Simone. Simone, more likely to happen, the Giants get to 15-game win streak or Kyle's Padres win by 6 or more tonight?
Oh, give me the 15, please.
Okay.
Yeah, San Diego's problem is they're not scoring runs, so I guess I'm betting against logic here, but San Diego's going to win it.
Kyle, taking a flyer.
The Padres, the Friars, they're facing Ryan Walker, 0-1. I mean, it's no big deal.
Yeah, they got an opener today. We got
it. Come on now.
Jake Cronenworth's going to go off. Bogarts is going to have
bump.
A homer.
They lost the last couple. 9 in a row.
But they were winning in the 8th inning of both games.
If it only ended then.
I guess I'll say double digits. If you get to 10.
That's tonight.
Yeah.
So
maybe
tomorrow.
A dozen. Give me a dozen. Baker's dozen. 13.
Oh,
give me a Baker's
God.
Dozen.
Moving the numbers.
Moving the needle. I'm moving the goalposts, baby.
All right. We're going to try to move our goalposts in the next segment. Maybe next couple of segments. Jay and I were going hunting for big fish for the Sacramento Kings. What's a good fit? We're going to see who we can put together. We've got that coming your way next here on Sactown Sports and SactownSports.com.